I also like to call this the parable of the loving father. That's my title for this passage. Dear friends, we all like to get our portion, whether it be pizza, whether it be Merv Munster's pie, whatever it is, we like to get our portion. The younger son, I'll refer to him as the younger son here in my message, he really wanted his portion. Did you see it there in our text this morning, Luke chapter 15? He asks for his inheritance, his share of his inheritance from his father. Just children, if you're listening, if you really want to anger your parents, ask them for your share of the inheritance right now. This was a really shameful thing to do. What we think, this text doesn't say it, but we can kind of fill in the holes here. In ancient culture, the oldest son got two-thirds, he got double portion, and the next son got just a single portion. So imagine this. This son was getting a third of everything that the father had. Important detail. When it says property there in your text, the word there in the Greek is bios. It means everything. Everything. In order to give this gift, this inheritance, you see, the father had to do a whole bunch of things. He had to gather all his livestock. He had to gather all his servants. He had to gather all his property, his assets down at the bank. And then he pretty much, and his servants, everything he had. And he had to cut it down the line of one-third, and he gave it to the younger son. You can imagine how offensive that was to do such a thing. The father had to go to a lot of work to cut his property in a third and give it there to his son. This sort of thing would have been the talk of the community about how shameful it was that the father did this and that he had to do it. This sort of thing would have been remembered. The reputation of this youngest son, people would have remembered for the rest of his life. And by dividing things out, it probably ruined the family. Well, it probably hurt the chances of the family making more assets and more money. But remember what I said before. We like our portion. And boy, did the younger son, man, he really wanted his. He wanted to have it right on the spot. Didn't matter the timing, he wanted it right away. But before we let him off the hook, the older son, I think he wanted his portion too. This text says that, boy, did he obey his father. In fact, the text says that he never disobeyed his father. He did everything that his father wanted. You know that perfect child that holds their hands like this and smiles perfectly all the time? That's this older son. When there's a tough task that's given and no one else raises their hand, he volunteers and goes out. When the hours are waning in the afternoon and everyone wants to go home and hang out with their family, this son works harder. When there is a tough thing to be done, this son waits and does what is best for the family business. But you see, when the younger son comes home and he sees the fattened calf, he thinks, why have I not gotten the fattened calf? And he gets enraged, and he gets very angry. And in this little moment, you see, my friends, we get to see that on the outside, this guy is perfect and he looks good, but his heart is dark and wicked. You see, I think the older son cared just about the portion that he was going to get, just as much as the younger son. He wanted the fattened calf. He wanted the robe. He wanted the property. He wanted everything that the father had. Perhaps he's been perfect and has obeyed so that when his father would die, he could get even more money. He's sitting on the sidelines, perhaps even praying for the father to die so that he can get his possessions. This is kind of a twist on this text, but I actually think the younger son and the older son are the same person. They want the things of the father, but not the father. They want the possessions. They want their portion, but they don't want their father. Now, they go about it different strategies. They have different strategies of going about to get those possessions. But you can see where they're at with this event. You know, as you think about it, life can really boil down to... Someone's phone's going off. Life can really boil down to really two things. I'll let Ken head off here. Sorry, Ken. Life can boil down to two things. Two ways to live and see the relationships in our life. Number one, we can choose to see the people in our life as objects and tools that we can manipulate so then we can get what we ultimately want in the end. Let me repeat that. We can view the people in our life as tools that we can use so that we can ultimately get what we really want. Or we can do this. We can just love the people for who they are, the people that are placed into our life, even though we may not receive anything in return down the road. Let me give an example. Oscar's here this morning. Sorry, Oscar, I didn't warn you. Oscar drives a red Porsche around town. I could kind of buddy up to him so that maybe you could hand the keys to me and I could drive around and look kind of good with that friendship. Oscar has front row seats to the Beaver football games. I could kind of say some nice things and flatter Oscar, and maybe by doing that, he might kick back and invite me to go to the game. Oscar has tremendous networking in the community and knows so many people. Maybe by being a friend of Oscar, I could get a whole bunch of other friends in the community. But you see, when I do that, I'm treating Oscar as a tool that I can use so that I can ultimately get what I really want. Now, by the way, I don't think Oscar owns a red Porsche. No? Would you let him do that, Carol? No? And Oscar doesn't have front row seats to the Beaver games. But I bring this up to show the example. I see this all the time. Well, there's another way to go. I could befriend Oscar just for the person that he is. Just for being around Oscar. To enjoy his personality and to enjoy the flaws that he has. Enjoy the goodness that he has. But just enjoy Oscar for who he is. Do you see the two ways to live? Using people as tools, that's the sons. Both sons do it. They really don't care about the father. They want to use him. Or we can just love the people that are placed right in front of us and be with them. By the way, the doctrine of the church supports the latter view. Every life has dignity. Every person should not be used as a tool or an object for our own purpose or desires. Every person has dignity and should be loved for just who they are, who God has created. I learned this lesson in my own experience when, of course, I studied these things, but then it came real to me about 7 years ago that God gives us people in our life not to use or manipulate or take their things, but to really just love them. And it struck me when I lost my grandfather. Back in 2010, my grandfather died in 2010, and when he died, it set off a whole bunch of decisions that had to be made for my grandmother. She needed to go to assisted living, kind of like Stony Brook, and there'd be elevated levels down the road for her. And what this meant was that all the possessions of my grandparents needed to get figured out. Who was going to take all of them? They couldn't take them all into this facility for my grandmother. We had to figure out who was going to get all their things. And my grandparents traveled the world and had all sorts of paintings and all sorts of wonderful objects in their home. And all of us gathered, all the cousins, there were 8 of us, 7 girls, 1 boy. I'm the one boy. We gathered on the outside of that house. And we were so excited as we were going into that house. So many memories of so many wonderful things in that house. Paintings and rugs and dishware and silverware. And there was excitement as we opened the door. And there was clothing and dishes. All sorts of things in that house And I got to tell you, when we went through everything, there wasn't a plan for how it would get distributed. We just went in. Actually, it was very peaceful. There was no problem with it at all. We all got along. We all shared the possessions. There, for the most part, there really wasn't any disagreement. But here's the thing. When we were done, we shut the door to that house. And as excited as we were when we entered, there was a horrible feeling when we shut the door. Because the possessions could never fulfill, never take the place of just being with our grandfather. See, it wasn't about how can we get his possessions so that we can have more. It was just being with him is special. That's the thing. And as I've reflected upon that, maybe you have a relative that you can relate in this way. Maybe it is a grandfather. But as I reflect on that, with my relationship with my grandfather, it really went like this. There were fun things that we did and experiences. Yes, we went camping. We went on hikes. There were lots of games that we played together. That was very exciting. But you know what? With my grandfather, it was just fun being with him. There didn't have to be an agenda. You didn't have to put on your best appearance. You just went in and you had fun and you just enjoyed being with Grandpa just for who he was. Isn't that the way the father in this parable? His philosophy is the exact opposite of the two sons. He doesn't see them as tools and instruments to manipulate. He just wants to be with his sons and pour out his love to these sons and just be with them. To the younger son who's pretty much flaked away the inheritance on wild living, he welcomes him back. He runs out and brings him in. To the older brother who was perfect on the outside but was so dark on the inside, he says to him, "All of my possessions are yours. All that is mine is yours." See, this is the kind of father that you would want to be with. You didn't care what you got out of him. You just wanted to be with him. This is the picture of God that we have here this morning. God is one that doesn't want to use us and manipulate us so that he can get his will and what he wants. By the way, that may not sound like a big, amazing thought. Actually, it is. See, most of the religions around the time of Jesus actually taught that the gods talked to each other and made bets and manipulated people so that they could get their own desires. No, you see, the God that Jesus is describing here in this text, he loves people just for who they are. His love ends with people. He doesn't want to manipulate them so that he can get something out of the system. He loves each one of you for just who you are. You know, the elder brother in this story really botches it. The elder brother in the Old Testament, and you may remember when I've mentioned this text before, you've heard it before. The older brother in families had specific things that they should do. See, they were the ones who were supposed to welcome in the younger brother back into the family. The older brother, he was the one who was supposed to distribute the inheritance. The older brother was to sacrifice everything so that a younger sibling could be brought back in. These stories in the Old Testament talk about this, Reuben with Joseph and so forth. The older brother does everything they can. The older brother in this text does none of that. But you know what? Your God, he did send you a true older brother in Jesus. Everything Jesus did was not for himself, but was out of love for you. He sacrificed his life for you. His end was people. So as I close out and thinking about this text, what does this mean for the 21st century? Bringing this parable forward, how does it affect our daily life? Well, again, we can really live two ways in the relationships that we have. One, we can see people as tools that we can manipulate so that we can get what we want. Or we can just love the people that are right in front of us with the flaws and the joys that they have. You know, I think, and the people that are hard for me to get along with, you know what I do? I oftentimes objectify them So put them in a box and give them a label. That way I don't have to deal with them and I can put them over here. And when they're giving a point or making an argument, I'm thinking about how I can reply and give my answer. But we can have a heart of God for those people in our lives. We can love people that we don't agree with just for the sake of who they are. Every person in this congregation is unique. Every person in this congregation has a beautiful voice. Every person in this congregation has a story. Can we love every single person here just for who they are? We can. Every person inside the walls of this church. And then we can take it outside and love every single person in the community. Not as a tool, not as a way to get our way, but as a way to just love them for who they are. That's the heart of the Father. Amen.